Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. O our Father, come let thy will be done in this building tonight, in our hearts. Have thy way, Lord. As with all my heart I say, I'll obey thee, come what may, whatever the cost. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. O God, take what's left of my life. Have it for thyself. Every breath in my body, every faculty of my being. Take my moments and my days. Come, our God, take my life, everything. Come visit us through this sermon. Speak to every heart in a way we will all become conscious. We don't have to do with man here, but with God. Visit us. Keep us under the blood of Jesus the Christ. Cleanse the atmosphere with the blood of God the Son. Cleanse this poorly, base, unworthy preacher with the blood afresh. For nothing but the blood can give me the right to stand again and preach, expecting God to take me as a vessel meet for the Master's use. Nothing but the blood. Come, our God, and by the Holy Ghost, speak to our hearts, every heart, as only God can, through the weakest of men, for without thee we can do nothing. Our expectation, therefore, is in thee and thee only. Come and honour and glorify thy name in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name, we all unitedly agree and ask these things of thee, our Father in heaven. Amen. In Luke 8, verse 5, Jesus said, A sower went out to sow his seed. A sower, a man hired by the farm owner, the landowner, to go out and spread and scatter seed on the plowed field. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Some fell by the wayside, the trodden footpath, which ran alongside of the field, the plowed field. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The birds ate it up. And some fell upon a rock. Some fell upon a rock. In Matthew's version, in chapter 13, verse 5, he says, upon stony ground, where there was not much earth. But Luke's account of this parable, he says, some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. It withered away because it lacked moisture.
It lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. Among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Choked it. And other fell on good ground. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit. Hallelujah. That's the one word that matters. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit. And hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried. He cried.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be? What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they. Having heard the word, go forth. When they have heard, go forth. And are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Bring no fruit to perfection.
but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. Keep it. And bring forth fruit. Fruit with patience. Literally, fruit that endures. Endures. Lasts. Survives. Not just for a time. They bring forth fruit with patience, enduring fruit. Christ says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Guard yourself now that you don't close your heart and mind to God's word, to Christ's warnings and revelation, because you can. You can. Be careful. Guard yourself to listen to the convicting word of God by the Holy Spirit. Don't close your mind and heart now and become angered. By a confrontation from Christ about your true state in the light of eternity. Guard yourself. I know a godly man in South Africa who shared with me how he had been to a funeral service where he had to give the eulogy, the thanks for all who came to comfort and to honor the loved one that had died. It was his eldest brother. And he said, the preacher, trying to comfort all the friends and the family, quoted certain verses to comfort one another with these words concerning someone who's died in Christ. And the preacher said, he's been released from his suffering. Don't want him back the way he suffered. He's suffering no more. He's in a better place. Oh, and he gave scriptures, this preacher, in his attempt to comfort the family. The loss of their loved ones. Their loved one. Now here stands one of the family. This man stands to give the eulogy. And in tears, trembling, he turned to this preacher and said, sir, you are wrong. My brother has not been released from his suffering. My brother is in more torment than any human on earth has ever experienced. My brother is in hell. My brother is not in a better place. If this book is to be believed, I love my brother more than anyone in this world. He was like a father to me. My father was gone. He brought me up. I loved him. I would do anything to embrace what you've said. But I cannot let the last moment my brother's memory is now be a lie. My brother never repented from a life of sin. My brother was religious. To many, he would be regarded as deeply religious. My brother came out in a meeting and responded to the gospel of Christ. My brother had a testimony. But I confronted my brother through the years with this book concerning his testimony. He never, ever turned from his sin. He died in his sin. He never repented. He never became a new creature in Christ, where old things pass away and all things become new. Everything God condemns concerning what was in my brother's life, my brother died living. And you might be angered, he said. I look at you now, shocked, he said. Angered at me, doing what is most unethical, where time of comfort is expected. But isn't it wrong to comfort where there's a hope that a moment of truth might make you just search your hearts, every one of you, just once in your life, with truth? Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're shaking your head at me, gasping in shock, yes. But maybe just once through this anger, this shock, you might be just honest for one moment in your life, everyone sitting here. Just once in your life before you die, to see in the light of this book, to look at your life in the light of this book. To know where you stand in the sight of God concerning eternity. No matter what you profess, you've done concerning the gospel. Just this book. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was attempting here to do something so similar to what that man said. Something that would shock and anger if anyone was ever to do expository preaching on verse after verse. In the light of the rest of the scriptures, which is the only way you can preach. I believe Christ knew this would infuriate, shock, stagger, and condemn the hearts of multitudes through the ages to this night, when this was being spoken of, if it was preached in truth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In his longing that somehow, in your shock, you might just have one honest moment, in case somehow in the age you live, you've got to go past 1,000 preachers to find one that might preach truth that you might never hear again. And that preacher might just preach this to make you know in God's eyes what you really are. And not wait until you die to acknowledge it and to do something about it. But to open your ears to God, especially when he stopped and warned, when you hear this throughout the ages, you that have ears to hear, for your soul's sake. Hear. Don't close your heart. Be honest. Even if it's one moment in life, you allow yourself to be. Be honest now. I believe that is what Christ knew would be the result of this. A sower went out to sow his seed. Now, Jesus said the seed is the word of God. That is so lovely. A sower went out to sow, to spread the word of God. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He cries out, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Peter says, being born again by the word of God. Of his own will begat he us, gave he us spiritual birth. through the Word of God. It's the Word. The Word, the seed, is the Word of God which is able to save your souls. Don't close your heart. Receive it with meekness. It's able to save your souls. It's a cry from the pages of this book when you hear the Word. Oh, being born again by the Word of God. Romans 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is, when you preach the gospel, the Word, what God says from this book concerning Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. The Word. A sower went out to sow his seed. Listen what the Word of God does and why a sower must go. Why God must send men forth. In Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise God holds out to the world. How then, Paul says, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Glad, good tidings of grace. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by grace are ye saved through faith. Without the Word you can't be saved. How then can they hear without a preacher? The sower must be commissioned by God. The sower must be hired, taken to go out onto the plowed ground, preacher. The prepared ground which only comes through a life sacrificed in prayer, not a life sacrificed in preparation. Otherwise, the ploughed ground is not ploughed. It can't take the seed. Oh, preacher, God cries out concerning the Word. The beloved, being commissioned by God is not an easy road. As every preacher here will know, otherwise you're not of God. Whether you're Bill Gothard, or Denny Keniston, or Don Covell, how come the devil doesn't worry about you, sir? It's not an easy road. It's a privileged road. And if I had 20 lifetimes, God knows I would say no other road. It's so privileged. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. Hallelujah. God trusted me with the gospel of Christ. Paul said, he entrusted the gospel to me. Oh, what a privilege we're conscious of above everything. Don't stoop to be a king if God calls you to be a missionary. William Carey said, it's stooping to nothingness, because that's nothing in comparison with being separated by God to the gospel of Christ. Oh, it's a great, wonderful honor God gives to the basest of men, and he only chooses the basest and weakest and despised so that no flesh can glory in his presence. Very few will he ever choose that really have any abilities apart from the ability to get grace from God to be used that they've never had in their own human capacity or could have. It's not an easy calling, as we all know, but God has promised us, they that sow, I love this verse, in tears. Why would God say that? So reap in joy. That's a promise, preacher. They that sow in tears. If you're really of God, you know what that means. That's the language of the preacher that he identifies with others who really know what it is to face this enemy. But you must preach. They that sow in tears, Psalm 126, verse 5, shall reap in joy, God promises us. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weeping, God warns us that there's weeping involved. If you're going to serve me, child, bearing precious seed, carrying. Oh, when the word we carry in our hearts makes us unable to hold back. It burns in our hearts, weeping, but we have to go on carrying precious, bearing precious seed. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. My words shall not return unto me void. God promises you and me, preacher, and anyone else who's just as good as a full-time preacher in secular work. Because that's why he goes to work. I make boots to be a missionary. That's all. I go to work to win souls, not to get money. The money's secondary when you're right with God anyway. Because you'll know God put you there not for the money as much as just the souls. Otherwise you wouldn't be there. Oh, but we who take God's word, we will have to sow mostly in tears. As every preacher sitting here will know. Otherwise I doubt you're called. But we will reap in joy. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die, to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. But as the Father sent me, so send I you. But the sower must go. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Woe is me if I warn not the sinner of the error of his way. That sinner shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If I sent you and you failed to warn the sinner to turn from his way, that wicked man, that sinner, shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Do you honestly think, theologians, that Ezekiel was the only man in history that had that to face? And we're exempt of it? Oh, pity you. Theologian, pity you. To think God would single out only Ezekiel in chapter 33, verse 7, and not mean it for me and you to know our responsibility. If we failed the blueprint of God for our lives, woe is me. Woe is me. if I preach not the gospel of Christ. The sower went out to sow his seed. The sower must be born again. The qualifications of this man have nothing to do with university to be used of God. Nothing to do with degrees, academic, intellectual achievements that stagger man and bring awe and reverence from man. No.
They that be wise, they're different. They turn many to righteousness, Daniel says. And many academic degrees can't turn any to righteousness with all their dogma and intellectualism. Oh my. He that winneth souls is wise. Outside of that, sir, your wisdom is folly. Even if it's a university that gave it to you. If you don't win souls, what are you doing with God's word?
Oh, the sower must be born again, though. He must be born again, or else he will become what Christ says, a blind leader of the blind. You know, the devil is so terrifyingly powerful. Don't say he's not. This isn't glorifying him. We have to know with whom we have to do without glorifying him or being taken up too much with him. But look, somehow Satan has caused such confusion that he has most pulpits in this world who profess to be the Christian message who are lost and going to hell. And I ask you, anyone, to tell me that isn't the truth. Somehow the world goes to hear men who've never been born of God. They're blind leaders of the blind, and they lead everyone who follows them to hell with them. You have to be born again. The bulk who believe they have the right to sow, that are sowing, that are spreading the word of God. Tell me, how can you? Unless you're born again, God, this is spiritually undiscernible. God tells you, or is he lying? You can't even handle it. You've got no right to. All you're going to do is take people who come to hear you and think this is all God has to offer them. This is the way. This is everything there is. And all will go to hell with you. Somebody's got to say it somewhere along the line, loud and clear, in this generation. Because the bulk who believe that this is what God says are going to hell. Because it isn't truth that's being preached. And that's tragic that we allowed Satan to do that and not make one cry that the lost know it isn't the truth. Oh, beloved, the sower must be born again, or he'll become a blind leader of the blind. Eventually, he will feel threatened by those who preach truth because he hasn't experienced it. And someone comes along now and his flock hears truth and wants it. He'll oppose truth. If he dares to start thinking he can sow the word of God, if he's not born again, sow the seed of God, he'll oppose it. 2 Peter 2 verse 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. He's not talking about people out there godless, people who are deeply religious he's speaking about. He'll oppose the gospel if he hadn't experienced it. 2 Peter 2 verse 12, and speak evil of things they understand not. Oh, beloved, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, if any man be in Christ, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But if you haven't been reconciled by Jesus Christ to God yourself, how can you take the ministry of reconciliation? All you'll be is a blind leader of the blind. And that is a tragedy today. Oh, 2 Peter 2 verse 19, well, they promised them liberty, they themselves are still the servants of corruption. Can you believe it? It's possible. These be they that separate themselves, not having the Spirit. It's possible. They eventually will be those who preach to men having itching ears, wanting anything but truth. And they themselves will be opposing truth. Oh, get out of the pulpit for God's sake if you're not saved, lest you be an enemy and fight God Himself that you say you defend. You can't handle the Word of God unless you know you're born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone preach it. Or is Christ not worthy enough to consider taking seriously, preacher, who's still going to hell? But let's look now carefully at what happens as the sower spreads the word of God. Let's look carefully at what Christ says now happens to those who are truly born of God, truly separated by God, truly anointed by God, unctionized God, taken by God, given, sent, and the love of Christ constraining them never to give up, because the cross burns in their being more than anything in life. They can't pass, for He tasted death for every man, so they can pass none. The world is my Paris. Not just my little congregation, or I'm not right with God. The whole world is my responsibility. Maybe I have right now, but if I haven't got the whole world in my heart, I'm not close to God, for only God loved the whole world. And a man close to God's own heart will love the whole world. Or he's not close to God's heart. He's far from it. If he just loves what's in the four walls and has no responsibilities to anyone else. Oh, a sower went out to sow his seed, Jesus said. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now in his interpretation to the disciples, he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Those by the wayside are they that hear, like you hear right now. So he's speaking about you. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. Mark tells us Satan cometh immediately. In his account of this parable, Satan cometh immediately. Do you think Jesus lies? Do you think this isn't to be taken deadly serious and tremble at? Do you think he said these words for nothing for you to listen to right now? And don't close your heart to, but consider with every faculty of your being in case this is happening to you. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Can the devil do that? Can the devil stop a man from seeking God to save his soul from hell? A man who hears the gospel, can the devil stop a man, take it out of his heart? Oh yes. Oh, you have a terrible enemy, soul. But how? How does the devil do that? How does the devil stop a man who hears the gospel, hears there's a heaven and a hell, he's going to hell, he can have the gift of life, eternal life? What does the devil do? How does he do that? Oh, Satan will use any means available to him. Any means available to him. Now be careful now as to what God means by that. He'll use your closest friend right now. Immediately. What are you saying, preacher? You think he doesn't do that? That your closest friend in the light of eternity is your worst enemy. Do you think if
Your closest friend is not available. Do you think if he's available, Satan will not take him up? I have been throughout 28 years of preaching staggered at who comes to meetings. Staggered at what reason they're there. Do you know how many come to play the fool? You say that's not possible. Do you think the devil won't use them? If you now want to seek God desperately, and they don't, they're here for the playing. I remember as a young preacher watching some young fellow while a man was weeping, preaching on hell, quoting the verses of damnation. And I knew a lot of these youth were going to hell, and they were listening, but one boy, good-looking boy, oh my, that's why he got away with it, kicking the girl's feet. And all the little crowd around, distracted, listening up to a point, but suddenly all giggling. Do you think that just happened? Do you honestly think if you make yourself available, if you're available for the devil to use, that he won't? To take the word out of their heart while they listening. That he couldn't have if he didn't have you. Tell me, I want you to be careful now. Are you available right now? How many conventions have you come to, young people? And others? Linked up with family that you're here, but you're not for God. You never sought God with your whole heart. What are you coming for? Are you really right with God through all these meetings you attend? Well, what did you come for if you aren't? To play the fool? Everyone was distracted while a man wept, crying out about the judgments of God. They laughed. Through one person, Satan found. Oh, by the way, as a young person, he was chopped in half, his whole body dead. I've been in a meeting where the preacher's son, not a little boy, a big boy, so despised the preacher, he mocked him. He wept with laughter. I looked, I couldn't believe, at this boy. You think the preacher was at fault? Well, Paul says to the Corinthians concerning many of the people who hated him, they despised my speech and mocked me. This young preacher's son so despised this man, he sat there crying with laughter and mocking. And every one of elder group of boys was distracted by him. Do you honestly think the devil can't use a preacher's son who's playing the fool with God? Tell me. I wonder how many will be in hell through him alone. Who couldn't receive the word in the heart. The devil took it out through him. I was in a church once where youth, a group of youth, a little bit older than youth, were joking about visitors in the church. And I looked, and I saw those visitors, conscious of what was going on, get up while the word and walk out. Do you honestly think Satan can't use you to keep souls from eternity and send them to damnation? He'll use any means available to him. Any means available to him. He can use Christians in a convention like this. How? How could he use a Christian? Oh, because those who are unsaved know you're a Christian. You're the one who says you're born again. You're the one who sits there really. But he creates circumstances now in front of those the seed is sown that hear the word. It's getting in their hearts. It's there, but now before it can bring out eternal life, what happens? They know you profess, and the devil orchestrates circumstances you think he won't. You think he doesn't. That you fail. You walk out there with your professor and you really are saved, and you fail, and that person knows and stumbles totally and says no. Walks away. Do you think the devil doesn't do that? He can use preachers. I've seen him use preachers who fall apart and begin to fail when the devil orchestrates circumstances and the lost look at this lot and just walk away from what was preached. He can use a preacher in this convention if I'm not careful. Paul said, guard yourself, preacher. As when you've preached to others, you yourself become a castaway. And imagine what happens. Oh, Paul was disciplined. Deeply disciplined. He can use preachers. Don't doubt that. I bring my body into subjection. And he cries out to all who preach to be doubly careful to guard themselves and carefully be disciplined. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And there, what will happen to the souls that heard me? If I'm not disciplined and careful, do you think the devil can't use a man who's preached? One of the greatest preachers in South Africa, just a few years ago, fell into the most depraved sin. And do you know how many have stumbled across our land through that? Do you honestly think he isn't going to aim at you, preacher, because you are preaching? You've got to guard yourself from anything he'll orchestrate. He can use churches who suddenly want war with each other. Be careful you don't devour each other, Paul says, if you bite each other. Be careful you are not devoured one of another. Be careful. But what happens to the lost who walk away? And how many churches have I witnessed? The lost walk away, never to come near Christ's people again. Having tasted that war, when they should have known you, were his disciples by love one for another. Or if the devil can find anyone to cause that, do you think he won't? He can use babies. No, I'm treading on soft ground. Tender ground here. So don't think I'm preaching at you, but listen. This is going to shock you if I start. I'm going to write a book one day. I better ask you to please print it when I'm dead, otherwise I'll die prematurely. They'll kill me. But let me start just touching the tip of the iceberg. The book will come later when I'm dead, okay? If someone like Don would print it, please. So much I'm writing. I was in a church where a preacher was pouring his soul out. And a baby screamed and screamed to the degree that you couldn't believe it, but the mother wouldn't get up and go out. At the door, this is the shock, the minister of the church, not the one who preached, but the minister. And I was standing right close by. He looked at this woman and tears came down his face and he said with a loud voice, "Lady, I watched you pinching that child. And pinching it cruelly. What sort of a mother are you? You didn't know anyone could look, but I got up and I looked around and I came to where I could watch you to see what you pinched that child again and again to make it scream uncontrollably. That virtually no one in this building tonight could have received the messages. You sent people to hell. Why? Was it because you were under conviction that you couldn't tolerate, said you didn't have any compassion for your child? You were so scared about your own feelings. You became cruel. Why did you do that?" He wept. She just looked white and ran out. "Do you think the devil can't do that?" A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then come with the devil. Satan cometh immediately. In this convention, here you are. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Is this what's going to happen to you? Then cometh the devil. Straightway, Satan cometh immediately. How? Is he going to do it to you? Is he going to use you to do it to others? Are you available? Dare a preacher preach such things, you say? Oh, yes. Even if it's one left on earth. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Oh, you'll do it. Or Christ was just talking words that couldn't happen. You choose whether to say, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't warning us, you and me, to listen carefully, everyone. They in the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Now that's staggering. Is that you? Did you hear like people are hearing, and there was a moment you received the word with joy? You didn't fight it. The devil didn't use anybody to stop you hearing, to close your heart, to fail in front of you, to cause chaos that you walked away from and said, not for me. No, you received it with joy. Is that right? And these have no root, which for a while believe, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Fall away. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't you dare tell me I'm making a statement of doctrine. I'm just quoting the scriptures. For God's sake, let me. Without accusing me. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Can I repeat that? Will the Church of Jesus Christ allow me to repeat that, please? To repeat what God said in this book. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. God says, and if that offends you, you're offended at God, not at me. So don't dare name me when you walk out there and say it's heresy. Name God's book. And for God's sake, start cutting out the verses you don't believe in, but don't carry a book around that you cannot preach every verse. Because you've labeled your colors to some mass that can't afford to even quote certain verses where they desperately needed to be quoted to this generation anyway. Hebrews 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They in the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Did you? And these have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, fall away. Did that happen to you? And you're still holding on to the testimony? But you fell away from anything real that this book, the whole book that is, could make you feel safe anymore. If you're honest, that is. And not biased. Peter 2, verse 20. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now I want to cry out to you. There's no such a thing as that God's grace isn't hovering over you wanting you to find vital reality. There's no such a thing. No such thing. That word, they cannot repent if they've tasted everything and gone now back. There's no repentance. Oh, it's while. That word seeing is while in the Greek. Look it up. There's no such a thing as permanently. There's never no glory or grace for you. For God's sake, if that's your experience, seek God with truth. Seek God desperately. Don't dare close your heart and think, well, that's the end. The latter end's going to be, that isn't what God wants. There's still longing in His heart for you. That's why He's giving this to you. What's the point of warning a man who hasn't got any hope? Do you honestly want to blame God to do that? Don't blame God for man's decision. I would. That's the will of God. But ye would not. The will of God didn't happen. Can a preacher dare say that? Well, Christ said it. Forgive me. We're just telling you. He sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden, that were invited. But they would not come. Do you honestly think He didn't want them to come inviting them? Do you honestly think man has no free will because God is sovereign? Do you honestly blame God for man rejecting Christ? Who died and tasted death for every man? Is that honestly your doctrine? Pity you. Before you read Romans 9, for God's sake, read Romans 1, 2, and 3. For this cause God gave them up. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. Don't dare tell me Romans 9 said God gave them no choice. There's a cause before you get to Romans 9. No man will stand before God and say, I had no choice. It was thy good pleasure to make me, to send me to be damned for eternity, and that made thee have pleasure. That isn't my doctrine, sir. And I pity you if it's yours. Does that make me lose ground? No. Because if there's one verse I quote out of its context, for God's sake, walk away. Am I a Wesleyan Arminianist? Am I a Calvinist? Sorry. You'll never know. All I am is someone who quotes everything. Because it must have been for a reason to be there. In the full revelation of Christ, there must be a time you do quote it. Or don't you quote passages, sir, that shouldn't be there. I'm diverting. And then he comes to this. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And that's tragic. That which fell among thorns are they. But when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, in its context as a verse and the whole parable, and the light of the rest of the scriptures, there was a response. There was fruit. There was a reaction. There was something of an effect. But what choked it? What destroyed it? This time? Well, the fruit was never brought forth. It never came to perfection. Never became something that could survive and last and endure to the end. And not just for a while, believe and fall away when things, temptations and accusations, underminings and onslaughts from the devil through his evil. Oh no. Here we have a moment that God stops people who won't throw away everything to receive that one pearl. Do you remember that lovely parable? All, you find it all in Matthew 13 and all in Luke 8, the whole lot, these parables. I wish I could just bring all the parables. I think let's do that one day. 13:45, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold everything, all he had, and brought it. Were you willing to let go everything, sir? They choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They're destroyed by these things. It devours the word of God. It can't bring forth fruit because you just won't let go to obtain eternal life. For what of man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Lose everything. But don't lose your soul. Rich man, be poor like Lazarus, but don't land up in hell and Lazarus in heaven because you wouldn't let go of what was your God. What kept you from God? Oh, be careful. They choked with cares and riches. Pleasures of this life is a tragic, 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 tragic statement. They just won't let go of everything. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. They go back in a destroyed spirit before it really comes to true eternal life. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves with sorrows, they've just thrown it all away. Oh, it's the beginning of all the hurts that can come to the spiritual side of life. It's the destruction and perdition of your any profession you might make. If you're not willing to let go of the things that God told you to let go, because these things are going to keep you from God, listen. 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and be materialistic. There isn't a million of a chance, let alone one chance. There's no chance. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's a command. Oh, you say you keep the commands, thou shalt not commit adultery. Tell me, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth is a command. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and be materialistic. You cannot. Set your affection on things above, not on things upon the earth. God's sake, don't love money. Don't let the riches, the desire for them drown you. When God says, let go of this child, I'll give you what you need. And you find you'll be happy with very little. And so miserable with lots. Cares and riches can be linked, you know. You've got so much, and the more you have, the more you drown. Because you're scared to lose it all. How am I going to keep it all? Oh. Some people are so insured that they die of heart failure and worry how they're going to pay their insurances. You can get so complicated without just taking no thought for tomorrow. It's a command. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Oh, don't allow yourself to look at things and fear and anxiety and scaredness and fear and cling and throw yourself in that you're drowned spiritually before it comes to true fruition of salvation. Oh, be careful. God is saying. They hear, they go forth. And it's soaked with cares and riches. Has that happened to you? And pleasures of this life. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what that means? There was a choice. There was a time they had to really make a choice. They felt love for God as they looked at the cross. There was this love and appreciation, but there was also love for pleasures. And there's a, you think you're saved? Wait, you've got to let go of everything. The riches, you've got to let go of everything. The pleasures, everything that keeps you from true vital reality with God. Let go, for God's sake. That the Holy Spirit tells you, let go or you're drowned. You'll be choked, you'll be destroyed before this can become real. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Are you? Answer God. Have you given up your pleasures that you know this book says you're going to hell? Be not deceived. No unrighteous person shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Nought that defileth shall enter therein. And then he names the sin. Well, I keep that sin, God, but I'm getting in. Is that what you're saying to God? Don't deceive yourself. You can't. You will not be. Nought that defile. He names. You want to go and look at our sins and look. Is there anything there that I'm still just holding on to? I'm a lover of pleasures more than lover of God. I chose pleasures. When it came to the actual genuine choice, it wasn't when I chose to come out in a meeting and say, Jesus Christ saved my soul. It was when I walked out there. And there were the sins, and there was the Bible. And there were the people of God, and there were the people of the world. And I was a lover of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I was choked, destroyed. That which fell on my heart didn't get there to bring forth eternal life, as it ought to have, and could have. If I was willing to let go, oh, Moses, in Hebrews 12, verse 24, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, no matter what it costs, he let go of all that. Because nothing matters but God. If you're going to come to salvation. True salvation. The minister that led me to Christ said, they say it's free, Keith. They lie. It will cost you every single thing in life. Or you're wasting my time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. Are you ready for that? Count the cost! Or you'll go for a while and just become someone who'll find it 10 times hard to ever respond again. If you don't count the cost now and be willing to say, God, everything I let go of for this pearl called salvation of my soul. By grace through faith. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Did this happen to you? Having heard the word, keep it. Is that you? According to Jesus Christ, you're saved. According to Jesus Christ, the rest, you're lost. Even if you received it with joy and didn't endure to the end. in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. Be ye doers of the word, James says, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What doth it profit, my brethren? No man say he hath faith, and have not works. Can faith save him? Can faith save him? He, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by thy works. By my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Totally worthless, literally. Ye shall know them by their fruits, Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Listen, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, preached in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? Is that possible? In thy name done many wonderful works, miracles, is that possible? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, you that never repented from a life of sin. You that were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, even if you preached in my name. There was no fruit. That on the good ground of they that hear, that in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience that endures, that lasts, that survives, that doesn't for a while believe in a time when all the onslaughts and everything the devil wants to bring fall away. No. That doesn't close the heart and eventually depart from the living God before deep work of truth comes out of fruit. It's not just getting down, brother, sister. It's the fruit that endures to the end. In closing, listen carefully. No, sorry. Listen prayerfully, please. Prayerfully, every single one of you. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. It's likened unto a man which sowed good seed. Good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. The word tares, it's a weed that looks like wheat, but no fruit ever comes. There's never going to be fruit. You want to destroy a man financially in the biblical times? go and sow tares while men sleep. Economically, you ruin him. He loses his crops. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy. An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Bring them home to me in heaven. Set the prisoners of the earth free. Oh, that's precious in itself. But I want you all to look back now to this statement. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. The Church of Jesus Christ, if it ever comes to a situation in any part of history where it is lulled to sleep. You think that can't happen? Jesus warned of it. Ye are the salt of the earth. But what if the salt had lost his savour? Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Forgive me, but it seems that's what's happening in most of the world today toward the church. They don't want it. They just despise it. They're trembling. It's just... While men slept, the enemy came, and this enemy, in his terrifying power and liberty, has strewn across this world, in the evangelical churches, multitudes who say they saved, who are going to hell. Because the church is not awake. Because the church is not on its knees. Awake. In prayer, crying out to God. No man compromising will be allowed in the pulpit. The preachers will be... The church won't compromise in its music. It is dress code, it is whole testimony, and it's swallowed up in the world to win the world. No, the world just won you. You didn't win the world. You won crowds. Goodness me. Was it worth it? Well, the church is lost. What the devil does is amazing. I think the world finds it hard to distinguish anything different apart from that you preach about being saved from what? O Church of Jesus Christ, I cry out to you for my soul, even if you never invite me back to this land. Wake up! Can't you see the state? You blame the souls? I blame the salt of the earth that the enemy is sowing in our midst. You've got to look and wonder, can this man be saved? But we don't question it anymore. It's not ethical to preach the things I'm preaching. You never get invited back. O Church of Jesus Christ, get down before God before there's nothing left. You won't know because you haven't given any authoritative statement from your pulpit or life whether the bulk sitting there are saved or lost. Does that offend you? God forgive you if you are offended. Preachers, wake. Wake that you don't sound an unclear call of the gospel. Come back to the clarion call. Come back to a clear sound with no compromise, no fear of man, fearing only God when you get from the pulpit, seeking only His well done. It doesn't matter if they bless you or curse you. It's only God's well done that matters. Preachers, get back to that, or you'll just become an entertainer of the crowd, wanting men's applause. For God's sake, preach to those who are really wanting sin, and the world will flee, and not sit in comfort, singing hallelujahs with you in their sin, without any conviction. Because a watered down, prayerless church, the enemy is just making the unsaved take over, causing wars within our midst, undermining the preacher, undermining the music that's godly, undermining the dress code. Anything is legalism. Any standard, even if it's the standard of the New Testament, lawish, judgmental. Oh, even if Jesus Christ said it Himself, I'll never go near this church again if such things are preached. A woman said after I preached, just quoting the Sermon on the Mount, even if Jesus Christ Himself said that, I'll never come back if such things are. What percentage of the church, the so-called evangelical church of Jesus Christ, will get up and walk out if we just quote the Scriptures as they stand once across the whole spectrum of the world's evangelical pulpits? Oh, we desperately need revival. And we desperately need to seek God, this church that's asleep. And we desperately need to seek God, those who sit in the pews thinking they're saved. But God cries out to you, no, you're not. There's no fruit. The fruit I wait for and demand. Demand. After a message like this, I know there's such shock and fear going on that to respond is very, very hard. But maybe the fruit of the sermon will go on and on as people begin to throw aside the lie they're embracing and get right with God in truth. Pleasures of this life, riches, for a while believe, fall away. Receive the word with joy. And all the other things. Under the blood. Is there anyone angry, yes, who has ears to hear tonight, who'll obey God and hear? Then I ask you,
seek God tonight. Because I doubt He'll ever speak to you again like this in your life. So it's your choice. If you know these things have drowned you, choked, destroyed. If you know what you hung on didn't work, you're as much of the world as the most lost sinner with a testimony, because you, for a while, believe, but you don't let go of that. I mean, you can't. I want those of you who need to say, God, tonight, with all the devil's done, is doing, trying, with all the failures and all I've neglected to do and rejected, when I know God was crying out to me, bury everything. Everything but come for this one pearl. And I've never been willing. And every statement said tonight, whatever reached your heart, I want those of you that say, God, tonight, no matter what it cost, even if it cost everything in life, I lay everything beside to embrace the cross and eternal life, no matter what it costs me, even if I lose every friend I have on earth. I embrace it tonight with my whole being, with an honest and good heart. And I ask you for the grace that no matter what it costs, I will keep it to the day I die, no matter what comes against me, through whom it comes against me, even if the men's enemies become the members of my own house against me, I'll keep it. Even if I lose everything, God, I'll keep the word of God with my whole being. Till I prove to God that this was not something that rejects everything else that's demanded in the Bible, but what God demands must be seen in my life for me to be at peace. I want anyone who needs to cry that out to God with their whole soul, and that'll cost you in this building, but it'll cost you a billion zillion times more hurt and shame if you don't. Trust me. I want you to stand up and say, God, it's me. Whatever it was God said, but tonight, it's Christ. Even if I lose everything in life that I've been clinging to, I'm willing for that. Will you stand, those that need to? Even though it costs. And you know God said, be careful. Don't close your heart. While you can hear, don't close your heart. The valley of decision. That's your decision. Those of you that are standing, I want the ladies to go out that door. The men to go out that door. And soul winners to follow them. Ladies with ladies, please. And men with men. Soul winners, don't hesitate. What can be greater privilege and to have a soul to pray through? Don't preach to them. Just point them to the cross and let them cry out by faith, and then tell them about the quiet time as your source of survival now. If it's the greatest goal of your everyday life, you'll never backslide. You'll go through. Please, can the ladies go out there, the men there right now? Please just push your way out. And soul winners, don't hesitate now. Don't shame God or me or any of your people. Go. Follow them. Soul winners. And the rest? While men slept, I want to ask the children of God who are asleep. And you know this world is in the state it's in, as far as the gospel and preaching and the standard is concerned, because you sleep. No more sleeping, God. I'm waking out of it, and I'm going to go through with God myself and pray through and be careful
to allow no compromise in my preaching, in my testimony, in my living, in my standard, even if I'm called the most legalistic, separated, judgmental person on earth. Let them call me that, because if they don't, there's something wrong. I want those of you desperate enough to say to God that at any cost from now on, with God, a man in war, in the army of God on his knees, and as he walks through this world with the grace of God, to have effect, to bring something of vital truth back everywhere I go. I want those who desperately need to say, God, I require that with my whole heart. Will you stand, please? I desperately need to ask thee this of my life. Those who need to. Yes. And those who are standing, you bow your heads. I'm praying for you, but pray it in your heart. Oh God, take me. What's left of my life, I put on the altar tonight. Wash me in the blood of Christ. From every failure, every compromise, every wasted moment, let alone hours, days, years, wasted opportunity to witness, wasted opportunity. For every compromise in any way, God, in anything that I've tolerated, that I haven't prayed out of pulpits, prayed out of churches, by groaning before God, that the church won't be asleep, Lord, and the devil make the world be quite at home, even in the evangelical churches, though they're going to hell, because I'm groaning. They'll find the discomfort, and so will thy people. Oh God, take me, and let me be the instruments of revival. But begin the revival in me, God, tonight, by washing me through and through with the blood and taking control of me as I lay my life afresh on the altar of God. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Take complete control and stagger the powers of hell through this life by thy grace till I die. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.